Tuesday the 7th of October, Ches Tishrei, Rabbi Yonatan Chodi, Kli Kasiv in the title, How to Behave with Wasps in the Sukkah, Beehive with the Wasps in the Sukkah.
Good morning, gentlemen. We're sure that the Marks and the Tzeva are good to punch to you. The Phillips will be in Stabel, the Rotten, Stola Panos and Tzeva, good health, Nachas and Simchas. And with the chus of your limit of Tzeira, your regular commitment to limit of Tzeira every morning, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond with his regular commitment of benevolence to all of us and Kol Yisrael. I chose the topic today of catching wasps, trapping bees in the sukkah. Mr. Shem, we all look forward to some good weather. The good weather brings out the bees, the wasps. Additionally, bees are attracted to a nice smell, good food, and when we're eating out in the open, the bees know which sukkah to choose, and I'll take that as a compliment to your wife's cooking if the bees come to your sukkah. But let's have a consideration, halacha, what can we do? Can we do anything about it? Can we trap them? Can we kill them? Is there a sakana? What's the appropriate reaction in these circumstances? The melacha that I would like to discuss is the melacha of tzeva, hunting, which is the first in the series of catching animals in order to make the hides, which was one of the melachas in the Mishkan, used in the Mishkan in order to trap the tachoshim or the elim. And this is the first of the series tzeva, to catch the animal. In order for the melacha to be a deraisa, you have to have a purpose in catching the animal. You either catch the animal for the purpose of its food, or perhaps its skin, or so. It has to be a constructive purpose in order for the melacha to be an itza deraisa. And in the melacha of tzeidah, that is defined in the following two criteria. The first is the act of the confinement itself. Obviously, if you don't actually trap the animal, you've not done the melacha. So how does the halacha define what is considered to be trapped and what is not yet trapped? So if we provide the following definition, and that is, if you confine the animal from a position where it was until now mechusa tzeidah, was lacking captivity, into a position where it is now no longer mechusa tzeidah, then you've done the yisur d'oraisa. But we have to define what is that called mechusa tzeidah. Obviously, this is relative to the size of the animal and the area of confinement. A bird in a house is not considered trapped. A deer in a small pen would be considered trapped. In halacha, that is defined as what's called shehir achas. If you can subsequently catch the animal with one swoop, without too much exertion, with one lung, you can catch the animal and it is now restricted, it's confined, it's under your control, and then you would have done the Yisur D'oraisa. That's called shehir achas. One exertion, one swoop. So if the animal is not yet in the position where you can get it in one swoop, it is not yet in the position of mechusa tzeidah, it's still mechusa tzeidah, and therefore it's not an Yisur D'oraisa. However, it's still an Yisur D'rabbanan. So if a bird, let's say, flies into a room or a house and you shut the door, you shut the window, so although it's not yet an Yisur D'oraisa because you still can't get the bird in one swoop, but nevertheless it's an Yisur D'rabbanan. Similarly, if a deer is running around or a horse is running around and you shut the gate in its enclosure so that it can now no longer run freely, you've not yet done Yisur D'oraisa until it's confined in a position where you can subsequently get it in one swoop. That's the way the halacha defines what is called trapped. And if the animal will elude captivity in those circumstances, is not yet considered to be the Yisur D'oraisa. So let's take that a little bit further. You have a bird which is already in the house, or an animal which is already trapped in the house. It can't run anywhere else. So it's not yet completely trapped, you haven't yet done an Issa Daraisa, it's not yet in a position where it's considered Sod Min HaTorah. May you now trap it further so that it's still not yet in a position of Shia Achas, but it's more trapped than it was. So it was loosely trapped beforehand, and now it's still loosely trapped, but it's not yet completely trapped. So that would be from a Drabona level of trapping, because it's not yet Shia Achas, to a smaller area, which is still not yet Shia Achas, another Drabonim, but not yet in one suit. Rav Shlomo Zalman there says that since you've not actually changed the status of the captivity, then you've not done anything wrong at all. It's not even an Issa Drabonim, which means that if there is a bird running around flying around the house, and it flies, let's say, in between the double glazing, you may now close the double glazing because it's still not yet in the situation of Shia Achas. It was in a position of loosely entrapped, it was flying around the house. It's still not yet in a position where you can catch it in one swoop, in one lung. So you've not changed its halachic status, although it might be easier, and you've restricted its movement even further, but it's not yet an Issa Daraisa, certainly not a Daraisa, and it's not even an Issa Drabona. Okay, so similarly, if you had a mosquito or a fly running around the house, you may then trap it between the double glazing because it's not, again, you've not done anything further. So that's an important heter to perhaps to bear in mind, that there's nothing wrong in doing that. That's the first criteria of the confinement Shia Achas. Second criteria for it to be mechuyav min HaTorah is the concept of minoy nitzus and ein b'minoy nitzus. It's a very interesting halacha that when it comes to tzedah, the only case where you can be chayv and it's a deraisa for tzedah is if that animal is the type of animal that is normally caught. It's normally caught for a purpose, either for food or for its fur or for its skin, then that would be an Issa Daraisa. So for example, rabbits or parrots or deer, or sometimes people trap cats and dogs in order to take them as pets. These are animals that are considered mino nitzud, and there it would be an Issa Daraisa if you trapped it into a position of Shia Achas. But other animals which are not normally trapped, for example, wasps, mosquitoes, there's no real human need for these animals. Even if you trap them into a position where it's Shehi Achas, it's not an Issa Daraisa, it's only an Issa Drabon.
Does this change with time? People keep trapping?
Yes, it depends on the time and the place, certainly. Okay. When it comes to honeybees, there is a machlokas in the poskim whether we consider honeybees to be mino nitzud or ein b'mino nitzud. The natural conclusion would be to assume that honeybees, are mino nitzud because they are cultivated in a beehive and that people control them and look after them in that situation, and therefore they, according to some poskim, they're considered to be mino nitzud. However, the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Gaon and many other poskim that honeybees are not considered to be mino nitzud, they're aimed at mino nitzud. Why is that? It's because it's intrinsic to the nature of the bee that it is allowed free movement to be able to fly around outside the hive. If it can't get outside the hive, you've killed the whole process. You can't make any honey, you can't cultivate them for the purpose that you want. So bees have to be able to get out the hive, and therefore, although they are controlled in the way they are farmed, but nevertheless, according to many poskim, honeybees are not considered to be mino nitzud, the ein b'mino nitzud, which provides us with a significant difference in that even if you would trap them, at best it can only be an Issa Drabona. Another interesting halacha is that in order for the animal to be considered trapped, it must be completely trapped. If it can in some way get out of its present situation, then it wouldn't be considered threat. So even if it would be in a certain area of confinement, but there's, let's say, a hole there or a small exit where if the animal would search for it and look for it, it would be able to find that exit, then it's not yet considered threat because it can get out. It might have some difficulty in being able to find that, but as long as it is within the animal's capacity to be able to look for that and find it and then escape, it's not considered to be trapped. And the Mishnah Berurah says, certainly if in the case of Ein Bemina Nitzud, we would say that if it is in an area of confinement where it can still get out, then it's not yet considered to be fully trapped. Which means that if a bee finds its way into the honey jar, it would be possible to take the lid of the jar, cap it over the jar and leave it slightly ajar so that the bee could still escape, and you wouldn't have done anything wrong. It's an Ein Bemina Nitzud according to many poskim, and it could certainly get out if you leave a gap. Then that would be a method to be able to catch a bee in a permitted way and then take it out the house or the sukkah or whatever the case is. Okay, the third point I want to make is Tzedo Alidei Groma. Now that means not your direct trapping, indirect trapping. Setting a trap, setting a dog to catch another animal. Helping an animal catch a third animal. Here your involvement is indirect. Here the Mishnah Berurah makes a difference between whether you are directly involved in the actual trapping of the animal or whether you are only indirectly involved. So for example, just to set off a trap which may or may not catch the animal at that point, and perhaps with time it would then be able to catch the animal, then that would be an Issur Drabona. But if you are directly involved in helping trapping the animal, then that is an Issur Deraisa, because that is the way people normally trap animals. You have an aide, a dog, another animal to try and help you. So if you are involved in that direct action, so let's say you block an animal into a wall so that it can't escape, although you've not touched it, you've not come into any contact with it, but you've confined it into a corner, since that is the normal way, then that is considered to be trapping. But to set a trap which won't catch that animal at that moment is an Issur Drabonan, and it can't be an Issur Deraisa. So for example, a mouse trap. When it comes to bees, you can buy some sticky sort of paper, a roll which you can hang in the sukkah, or you can hang in the room, that will catch the animal. That is an Issur Drabonan to install that on Shabbos or Yom Tov, because that is setting a trap that will in the future may or may not catch the animal, but it certainly won't happen instantly, won't happen the moment you hang it, and therefore it would be an Issur Drabonan. So you can put that in the sukkah before Yom Tov, before Shabbos, but you can't put it on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, because that would be an Issur Drabonan.
And a spray, definitely.
We'll come to a spray in a second. We'll come to a spray. Another point that I want to make is that momentarily tzedo is also considered to be tzedo. We'll see that in a practical application soon. But if you trap an animal and for a second and then let it free a second later, you still consider to have trapped the animal. Trapping is trapping, it doesn't make a difference, and the time lapse is not significant. And there's no reason to let an animal free. But even if you catch the animal for a momentary second, it is tzedo, and one has to be aware of that. Yeah, we'll see in a second what the kavana is and why, but okay, so this brings us to some solutions and what we can do with a bee, but let's consider where we have so far. If we consider the bee to be Ein Bemina Nitzud, then it's not an Issur Deraisa, at best it will be an Issur Drabona. Okay, but you can't set you can't catch it by hand. You can't set the trap on it, that would be an Issur Drabonan. You can't even confine it into an area where it can fly around loosely, because again, that's an Issur Drabonan. Even if you haven't caught it, you can't get it from that position in one swoop or in one lunge, it will still be an Issur Drabonan. Okay, so what can we do? Well, some a person suggests an etzer to put some honey on a spoon, let the bee come onto that and then take the spoon out. That's certainly permitted. Might not be practical enough. So let's look at some of the etzers that are possible. There is a fundamental principle which I'm sure you're all familiar with, and that is the principle of a melacha she'ena tzricha levita, where a melacha which is not done for the purpose for which it was designed or used in the Mishkan, that is called a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa. In order for a melacha to be a deraisa, it has to be a melacha tzricha legufa. You have to utilize the melacha for the purpose, or for constructive purpose, or the purpose that it was utilized in the Mishkan. So in this particular case, we talk about Seder, it would be an Issur Deraisa if you trap an animal which is Mino Nitzud for its skin or for its meat, or because you needed the animal for some purpose. Where it came to Netilas Neshama, the Melacha Netilas Neshama is killing the animal, again you'd have to require the animal either for its meat or the fat, the blood, or whatever reason you want the animal. But to trap an animal in this particular case where it is bothering you, or there's a potential that of pain or injury, here you don't want the animal. You're not interested in the animal. On the contrary, if the animal keeps far away from you, keeps its distance, you're happier. So to trap an animal in this particular case where you are only interested in preventing harm would at best be a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa. So a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa, we paskin, is an issur drabonah. The Rama paskins that a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa is still an issur deraisa. We don't paskin like that. We paskin that a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa is an issur drabonah. What does that mean? Chazal were so concerned that if we allowed a person to do a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa, which is exactly the same activity, you're doing the same act of trapping, you're doing the same act of killing, but not for the purpose because you want the animal, but because you don't want the animal, because you want it away from it. It is very, very likely that a person would come to trap the animal or kill the animal in circumstances where they would want the animal. And therefore Chazal was so concerned out of the concern for Yisrael not being over Nisa Deraisa, they instituted an Issur Rabbanon to prevent us being over an Issur Deraisa. And the Rabbanon of Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa is a very strict Issur Rabbanon. However, the Mokam where there's a potential of Tzar or Hezit, or we'll see in a second, of course, danger, Chazal relaxed the Issur of a Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. And it depends on the severity of the potential pain or injury, how much of that melacha she'ena tzricha legufa does Chazal permit? And here I want to differentiate it as follows. You have three categories. You have tsar. Tsar is what I'm going to describe as a minor pain. You have the next level up, which is hezek, which is substantial pain or injury. And you have the third level, which is a danger, a severe reaction, or misa, which of course we're familiar with, that mokam chashash sakona, even in Issur Deraisa, which is permitted. So if we start with the lowest category first, which is the category of minor pain. And for that example, I'm going to use a mosquito. I know mosquito bites are painful, but in halacha, it's treated as a minor pain. And within that, we have two categories. We have the potential for the minor pain, and we also have the actual pain, the actual moment at which the animal, the mosquito, is going to bite. And in halacha, it's differentiated like this. If the animal is what's considered rotzin acharav, rotzin acharav means it's chasing you. And in this case, when we discuss the minor pain, that means it's either on your body or biting you. It's on your body, which means it's on your skin, then it comes under the category of rotzin acharav. And in the case of a minor pain, if it's actually rotzin acharav, you may trap it, you may pick it up with your hand and push it away, because it's actually on your body, actually going to cause you pain. In this case, Chazal were matter you to do the melacha of tzedom by picking it up and flicking it away. You're not allowed to kill the animal. Why are you not allowed to kill the animal? Why won't, it's also a melacha she'en tzricha legufa. The difference is that Chazal only allowed you to do what would otherwise be an issur d'rabbanan if it wouldn't be for the fact that it's a melacha she'en tzricha legufa. But if it would not be a melacha she'en tzricha legufa, it would be an issur d'oraisa. Chazal weren't matir this level of melacha she'en tzricha legufa in the case of minor pain, which means to kill the animal is only one level. It's a melacha she'en tzricha legufa. If it would be for a purpose, it would be a d'oraisa. Therefore, Chazal were not matter you to do the melacha she'en tzricha legufa of killing the mosquito in the case of minor pain. However, trapping it is one level down, because a mosquito is a ein b'mino nitzud. A mosquito is a type of a fly which is not normally trapped, so it's anyway an issur d'rabbanan. So even if you did it for a purpose, even if you trapped it for a purpose, it would be an issur d'rabbanan. So here you have what's considered like two d'rabbanan. If it wouldn't be for a melacha she'en tzricha legufa, it would still be a d'rabbanan. Here, Chazal or Mati, the mokum with his actual pain, which is described as either on your skin or about to bite you, that is considered to be a melacha she'en tzricha, it is of rotzin acharov, actual pain, and Chazal or Mati at that level. However, if it's not on your body, let's say it's just on your jacket, or it's just flying around, there's only potential minor pain, that Chazal were not Mati at all, and you can't do anything about that. If we move on to the next level up, the post can discuss what about if it's on the inside of your shirt, and some will say that we treat that as on your body, others say we treat that as if it's like on the outside of your clothes and you can't do it. So if it's a potential that's going to hurt you and you're afraid, then the post can be makel in that situation. Let's move on to the next level up, which is substantial pain, and on that category I'm going to consider a wasp or a bee, which can be aggressive. Their injury that they can afflict can sometimes be quite severe, although in normal circumstances it's not life threatening. So we'll consider that to be a substantial pain. Here, even if it is ein rotzin acharov, so there's only the potential for that to happen, Chazal will matter you to do a little bit more than what they allowed you in the previous case. Here, you have the ability to be able to cover the animal by a glass or a plate or something like that. Now here, you can't kill the animal and you can't physically trap it. So Chazal didn't allow you to do what would otherwise be an issur d'oraisa. However, the act of covering the animal, the fly, the bee or the wasp, with a plate or with a bowl, is a one level down from the actual d'oraisa of trapping it. Because when you trap it, the melacha of trapping is you have it in your hand, I now can do something with it, it's under my control, or it's shehiyah achas. When it's under the bowl, I still haven't got it. If you release the bowl, it'll probably fly away. So although it's trapped and it can't run away because it's under the bowl, it's one level down from the actual issur d'oraisa. And normally you can't do that, but in these circumstances where there's a potential for substantial pain, Chazal will matter you to do this level of melacha she'en tzricha legufa. If it's actually running after you, if it's actually about to cause you pain, so it's hovering over you and you're really frightened that it's going to sting you, here you can do the issur d'oraisa. You can trap it or you can even kill it. So if it's hovering over a child and the child is very frightened and it could sting and it could cause a severe reaction, you would be permitted to trap or kill the animal if it would not be possible to cover it with a kailin. If it is only potential, so it's in the room, it's in the sukkah, but it's not at the moment causing you any harm. And the truth is that they say that if you don't interfere with a wasp or a bee, it won't cause you any harm. Here, if there is, if you are afraid that it might cause you a harm, that's potentially a substantial pain, here you may cover it with a plate or a bowl or a glass or a cup. And finally, the highest level, if there's a potential danger of severe reaction, so for example, if there's a child or a baby, or someone who has an allergy, or people who have asthma, or people who are on beta blockers, a sting from a wasp is very dangerous. It can cause a very severe reaction. In these circumstances, even if there's a potential possibility that this could happen, it's permitted to do this at the right time, and you may trap or kill the bee.
Even by another person? Another person
Yeah. You can prevent someone else being in a succulent. Sure. Okay. So those are the various levels, which means, practically speaking, you have various aids to deal with the wasp in the sukkah on Shabbos, and I've included Yom Tov, although perhaps Yom Tov is very slightly more lenient in the case of killing. But as far as Seder is concerned, it's machlokes in the poskim whether Seder comes under that one of the melachos which are forbidden min haTorah or not. Machab poskim is done in Rabbanon, but the Mishnah brings many poskim who treat it as an issa d'oraisa. Anything that's before Lisha is an issa d'oraisa, and therefore we treat Seder strictly, particularly in these circumstances. So therefore, you have the various answers. You can set the trap in the sukkah before Shabbos or Yom Tov. You can put some honey on a spoon and try and ensnare the bee to come and take that and go out the sukkah with that. You can cover the honey jar or a glass partially with a piece of paper, but that the fly, the bee can still run away, can still get out because that isn't completely trapped. In the case of a bee or a wasp where there's potential risk of substantial pain, there you may be kofel of kalim, you can cover it with a kalim, and if you can release it later on, do so. If it dies under there, okay, that's not what you intend to happen, but if you can release it later, do so. And if it's actually rots in acharav, where there's actually about to bite you and it's chasing you, and there's that risk of substantial pain, then it's permitted to trap it or even kill it if you can't be kosher olav keli. Does anyone have any questions?
Can you ask a guy to do it? Put open up the thing and put on a blue light. Can you ask the guy to switch it on?
That would be an issa d'rabbanon.
Yeah.
So to ask a guy to do an issa d'rabbanon, the mokum where there's a substantial risk of tzar would be permitted.
I'm quite sure that if you just trap and take out, you are trapping. Because if you take a cat and you dig it out, you're not trapping the cat. If you take an insect or something and go like this and take it out, without an intention of trapping it or keeping it or whatever, you want to take it out by doing, if you take out a bit of
it. It's momentarily trapped. It's momentarily trapped. It's similar to the case of Kaisal of Kane, but it's in your hand. You have it momentarily there, and therefore, even for that short moment in time, it's forbidden to do it unless you have the circumstances that we discussed.
What's the chiddush from the honey that's in the spoon? I'm not doing anything.
Correct. There's no chiddush. It's an eitzah to avoid having to rely on these materials.
Once you've trapped it underneath the cable, in the situation where you're allowed to, you're thinking you want to take it out in order to release it, let's say. There's no problem with mukta.
Chazal were mati the issa mukta, just like they were mati the issa drabonon of Amlach Hashem Tzrich Laguva b'mokom the substantial pain, they were mati the issa mukta. You have also another hesa that it would be considered a graf shorei, it's something that's bothering you where it's permitted to mukta. And there's even some poskim that say that since here you're not really interested in the item of mukta, you're just really interested to discard it, you're not moving it because you want it, then that would be enough of a reason to be able to move it. So you have those three reasons.